Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Roker Report podcast in association with Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. My name's Rich Spate and I'm joined this morning by Gav Henderson to talk over Sunderland's 5-0 victory against Sheffield Wednesday at home last night. How are you this morning, Gav? You woken up yet? You're suffering still?
I'm still full of Christmas cheer, yeah. Sunderland did help a little bit. Definitely. But yeah, not good, mate, you?
Yeah, good. Tired, a bit hungover. Not looking forward
to going everybody, to the... That's everyone this time of year though, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to going to the gym on my kind of pre-New Year health trip, but we'll not go into that, but we will go into Sunderland's fantastic performance last night. Obviously, it was 5-0. There was a perfect hat-trick, as it's known, from Ross Stewart, plus goals from Callum Doyle, with a back post header, and Benji Kimbiota coming off the bench to score neatly at the back post as well to round off what was a great performance. But I wanted to start, Gav, by the atmosphere, because there was 34,000 there last night. It sounded fantastic on my stream. You were there. How was it for you?
No, it was brilliant. It was the same at Doncaster as well. People, I don't know whether it's the time of year and everybody's off work and going out on the drink and just nice time of year. So everyone was upbeat. But yeah, the crowd was a little bit bigger, not much bigger, but it was a little bit bigger. Chef Wed fans, to the credit, they did their part. They had most of the top tier. And that's even good. At 3-4, 5-0 down, there was a section of about 200 or 300 of them who just never stopped singing. They were bouncing. It was actually weird. We thought there were Sunderland fans celebrating in the away end. There was, because it was sort of just after every goal. But no, it was good. It was a nice atmosphere. Obviously, it's nice, isn't it, when the team's playing well at the minute and people are feeling confident about how they're doing. So you go into the games a lot more relaxed, like where there was tension maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago into these games. People are just coming and they're enjoying it, and that's the way it should be for me, I think, when you're at this level and you're playing in these... I mean, this is a big game for League One. Sheffield Wed are a big team. And it's the last time we lost a game was against Chef Wed. I was there. It was a horrible night. Mm. So, you know, everybody's up for it. But I think the first goal set the tone for the rest of the game, and the atmosphere sort of chilled from that point. So, yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
But before the first goal, it was a bit nervy, wasn't it? And one thing we did manage to do early in that first half, once they had the ball a bit, was to win the physical battle. I think a lot of people are talking about a turning point in the game being Bailey Wright's kind of battle that he won against their centre forward. Was it against Patterson?
Patterson, yeah.
Yeah, and where he basically knocked him out once, and then they came together again, and he won that physical battle, and that we were winning the battles, the important physical battles on the pitch, and that set the tone.
Yeah.
Because, as we know at the stadium, we're like, you know, a crunching challenge or a great bit of defending can get the crowd going as much as a goal, really.
Those little battles were happening all over the pitch. I mean, Pritchard and Bannon was a big one. Mm-hmm. I've said this to people over the last few days. I don't think Pritchard gets enough credit for the sort of work he does off the ball. He's really good at just getting stuck in, getting into people's faces, ratting around them, winning the ball back. I mean, we'll come on to the goals, but the second one came as a result of him pressing high and working hard and winning the ball back. So, I mean, we have got very, very good at that, I think. I think somebody pointed out in our last sort of five or six games, we've only conceded 2 goals. So we are tightening up and we are battling more, and ultimately people are finding the players in the team because we have no choice but to pick them. But that consistency is really helping, and it's players are flourishing. I mean, I've never seen Bailey Wright play as well for Sunderland as he has sort of over the last 5-6 weeks.
Yeah,
Doyle's back into form, Flanagan's back into form, and they're battling for one another. I mean, you see it in the goal celebrations, they're all celebrating as a team. You know, there's a good team spirit there at the minute, and I think when all of that comes together and the confidence is high, you can be unstoppable. We've seen it before with Sunderland teams in the Football League when we got promoted under Peter Reid and Roy Keane in particular. Like, if you've got a good team spirit and players battling for each other all over the park for 90 minutes, there ain't many teams are going to be able to live with us this season. So, yeah, it was nice to see. It was nice to see the defenders in particular winning their battles. Like, say, that Bailey Wright one. I wouldn't say Bailey Wright's a particularly aggressive defender, but he just sort of, he knew the ball was there to win. He clattered through it. So did Patterson. I mean, we were lucky. Patterson was the one who came off the worst of the two. Mm-hmm. But it did set the tone, because what it did was, after Sheffield had started well, it settled everybody down, and sort of that little 2 or 3 minute break where he was getting attention and he was getting seen to by the physio, it sort of calmed them down as well. Yeah. Like Sheffield, obviously they'll have been up a height from that first couple of minutes. So, yeah, good. Like I say, it's a continuation of a sort of ethos and team spirit we've seen over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I echo what you say about Bailey Wright. I also think, you know, Doyle and Flanagan all look really comfortable in that three. Mm-hmm. And the kind of the shifting across the pitch to kind of cover those kind of full-back areas.
It's a very weird system though, isn't it? Like, because I actually looked at it and Bailey Wright's playing like a right-back more than he is a right centre-half. It's not like an orthodox, it's not really a three or a four, it's sort of in between. I think a lot of it's to do with Diaco on that side of the pitch. We've seen that he's not great defensively, although I do think he is getting better in that regard. Like last night, some of his chasing back and defending was good. But I think the whole reason we've went with that sort of system and putting Wright as a right back is to cover for some of those deficiencies down that side. But it just works. I mean, a lot of people have pointed it out. Bailey Wright's played right back before for Lee Johnson when he was at Bristol City. So I didn't realise, I was staying at my mate yesterday when we were at the game, I didn't realise how good Bailey Wright was with the ball. I always thought he was a bit of a punt it and launch it type of defender who couldn't really play, but he's got really, and again, could just be confidence and getting a good run in the team. I mean, we saw it, he got one of the assists, it was a cracking ball in for the goal, and we're seeing a side when we've never seen since he came to Sunderland, and again, just part of this collective confidence and everybody playing at their best.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, just think briefly on that tactical element, I've been a bit of a Corey Evans sceptic, but he covers those zones as well.
Have you not found that whenever a player's been like sort of in and out of the team this season, people have doubted them rightly?
Yeah.
And once they get a little run, we're all right, actually, he's a good player. We've seen it with Pritchard in particular. Dyack, who's another one who got a bit of stick when he was in and out of the team. People weren't really sure on him. So I think one thing we've just got to keep our fingers crossed and hope is that he can stay fit, because
yeah,
we've seen over the last few games how good he is.
Well, let's go into the goals, because this is only a short one.
Yeah.
The first one, possibly marginally offside, although it's difficult with that camera angle to see exactly who where and when. I think Quest paused it on their highlights, and it looked...
They were pretty adamant it was offside, and
that was offside.
Yeah, maybe.
But he ran through, and I was impressed. He finished with his left foot. Doesn't seem like he's a natural left footer. And he popped that in really nicely. And their high line, I think teams are going to have to learn. You get beat 5-0 if you try and play a high line against us at home on a evening. It just doesn't work. But the ball from Diaku was beautiful. The finish from Stewart was fantastic. And that really set the tone. Then the second one, as you say, was all Pritchard, really, apart from the finish, which was absolutely phenomenal from Stewart, one touch finish really, and it was wonderful.
The timing of his run was outstanding. When you watch it slowed down, I was stood next to my dad's going, he's on his own, he's gonna have to do it on his own.
Yeah.
And you just see Ross Stewart he actually starts very slowly and then he just motors away, because Pritchard, that's the understanding they've built up as a pair.
Yeah.
They know each other, and he knew that Stewart would be there if he just held on to it for long enough.
It was great, and like you said, I think I was like your dad, I was like, oh God, somehow he's going to have to beat both of these, but no, there was Stewart piling in, and that first touch finish, it took everyone by surprise. You know, you expect the way the ball came to him, he'd naturally kind of take a touch to his right, but no, he slotted it home, and I was jumping around at that point, really pleased with it.
I don't think if that was a few weeks ago, you know, I don't think he would have scored that. I think
it's, no,
just because he's got those couple of goals back to help him with his confidence, I think that's probably helped, because that's a confident finish, that.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah, totally.
That's a striker in form, that.
Yeah, and yeah, and it put us 2-0 up, and we looked really comfortable at that point, and we got the third. We could have had a hatful in the first half. It could have been 5-0 in the first half, really.
But
we got the third. Again, it looked like actually another Jamie McAllister well-worked corner routine.
And there were a few of those.
Yeah.
There were a few of those in the game that sort of didn't nearly came off, but that one was really, yeah, another one. We tried that actually, I think, at Doncaster.
Mm-hmm.
If you think back, there was a... They've got a couple of different ways of setting it up, but it's basically the same set piece where your biggest three players, they sort of hang at the very far corner of the box. Sort of weird. I've never really seen us do this before. But I think basically the routine is to launch it out to the big man at the far stick,
mm-hmm.
who nods it back across, and then any one of those three players are standing waiting for the ball. And let's say we came close to doing it against Doncaster. We actually nearly done it again later in the game as well. I think it came out to Ross Stewart, but it there wasn't enough height on the ball, and he had to loft it back in with his feet. But another really well-worked sort of routine. And I always, when we score from set pieces, I always look, especially when I'm in the ground, obviously, I looked to the touchline to see how the coaches are reacting, and they went mental again. It was a bit like that one when Dan Neal scored the other week. The coaches they were really proud of that goal, because it's obviously something they've worked on.
Yeah.
We are a lot better, especially with Pritchard in the team, because his delivery is unbelievable. And Embleton. Mm-hmm. We were scoring from a lot more of these situations.
Yeah, totally. And it was lovely to see Callum Doyle getting the goal as well. Young lad getting his kind of first senior goal. And celebrated wildly in the corner with the fans, which was really good to see. And you know, he deserves it, because again, his form's come back up in the last few weeks. He looks really comfortable and confident. The way he brings the ball out as well, I think it's just worth a note for his whole all round performance in terms of
he's getting back there, isn't he? He's getting back to where he was at the start of the season.
Yeah, it's when he takes the ball out of defence, it drives the whole team forward. And you know, him and Wright and Flanagan are all offering something slightly different as centre backs, and Doyle's kind of ball carrying is, I think, that you know, the mark of the player. He's very, very, very comfortable in possession, and his quality of pass into the midfield is generally really good. So I mean, it was lovely to see him on the score sheet.
Just on that point with midfield, it's like playing with an extra midfielder at times with him, because he's so confident at carrying the ball, and because he's so physical and big, like, they don't expect it, so he's charging through strikers and attacking midfield players, and he's carrying us 10 yards further up the pitch.
Yeah.
And it's allowed, especially sort of Neil, who really likes to get on the ball and drive forward, it allows him to push out,
mm-hmm.
and it allows Pritchard to push out, and allows a wide... A lot of our players basically get it into the sort of area where Pritchard and Neil are, work it wide and work it back inside, and I think a huge part of that is Doyle and Wright in particular sort of getting on the ball and carrying it out. It must be so difficult to play against when you think about sort of teams at this level probably aren't really used to defenders being able to do that. I can't recall Sunderland really coming up against another defender this season from another team who can do what Doyle can do on the ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a big asset to us, absolutely.
No, we're looking really, really strong. It's probably just worth mentioning, like what George Ellick said on Quest as well. That, you know, we're not absolutely firing on all cylinders either, and we've got so many injuries. This team, you know, what they did in the first half in particular, I think, was just so impressive and sends a huge message out to the rest of the division that, you know, all right, we've gone top, but we've got, you know, we're a few games ahead of other teams around us, but we're going to be extraordinarily hard to beat for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
The defence is solid and we're scoring goals, and we can get goals, you know, from all over the park. But second half, we continued where we left off, really. They'd obviously had a bit of a bollocking at half-time from Darren Moore, but it didn't seem to have too much effect. We kept control of the game really nicely. they really didn't do anything, did they? They were quite disappointing, but they were a bit of a makeshift team, really, weren't they?
I don't know. I think obviously they've had a 3-week break, and that was pretty much their sort of full strength team. But I think one thing with them is when I saw when the teams were being read out at the start of the game, and I'm looking at the first time I'd seen their team, and I was reading it on the screen, I'm thinking, ooh, that's not a bad side. That, I mean, you go back to front in their team, and it's just full of players with higher level experience. You know, back to front, Peacock Farrell in goal, Dunkley and Palmer at the back, Lewis Wing, who was a great championship midfielder, Mendes Lang, Barry Bannon, great player, you know, Jack Hunt played in the Premier League, Lee Gregory and Callum Patson played in the Premier League. So I was looking at the team, I think, well, these could be a difficult team to beat today. But they reminded me a lot of when we came down and Jack Ross's first season, and we had a lot of players who were, you would have thought, like Oviedo, Catamol, these type of players who were, had a lot of higher level experience, yeah. But sort of, there's just not something quite right about them defensively, organisationally. A lot of players sort of phoning it in, and I mean, we just outwork them. So
yeah.
It doesn't matter how much experience and quality you've got at a higher level if you're not really up for the fight. And start of that second half, yeah, the first couple of minutes they were a little bit more energetic, but we matched them and we bettered them. And once we did that for 5 minutes, they didn't want to know again, did they?
No, and we got that fourth goal that really put it to bed, a header from Ross Stewart, beautiful ball into the box, wasn't it, by Bailey Wright, that one?
I think it was Diak who fed him, and then Bailey Wright put a great cross in.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was slightly after that kind of series of incidents with Lyndon Gooch, wasn't it? Again, where we just showed our steel, and Johnson calmed Lyndon Gooch down, told him to go and do it on the pitch, not to get involved with their shenanigans. He drove in the middle, pumped the ball out to Diaku, who headed the ball down for Wright, and then the ball in was just quality. It was like, you know, any fullback putting a ball in the box for a big striker, that's absolutely perfect. And
they gave him so much room, didn't they?
Yeah.
Gave him so much room to do it, but you've still got to execute. You know, it doesn't matter how much room you get. We saw that at Doncaster, we probably lack a little bit of quality at times in the final third, and they allowed us a lot of the ball where we didn't really do anything with it. Chef Wed was they were a little bit different. We had quality, and yeah. probably could add more, but that cross from Wright was superb. I probably need to say the goal back again. I don't know what the marking was like for Stewart, but he just seemed to be stood there alone. Cheers, lads, you know.
Peeled off the back of the defender a little bit. But again, yeah. We moved the ball around so quickly then. You know, it had gone from left to right and back over to the left. I think we were just shifting them around and a bit discombobulated, really. So it was really fantastic to see. And then we rounded it off, made a couple of subs, rounded it off. Obviously, Stewart had a couple of the chances as well, didn't he? One where I don't know how the goalkeeper kept it out at the back post, bounced off him really. But then Kibioka pops up at the back post. He looked lively when he came on, didn't he? He looked bigger and stronger and less erratic and more focused in his performance. He looks quite dangerous really in that. I mean, obviously he came on when we were 4-0 up against a team who were, like you say, 4-0 in. But he looked good.
He did, and he's got to take these chances because he's not going to have many more of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is January, could be a make or break month for him. Are they going to let him go? Probably not, based on the amount of injuries we've got. If he goes, he's probably going to go at the end of the month. So really, he has a month to prove himself. We're all sort of waiting for it to happen with Benji Kibioka. I mean, I've watched him for the 23s, and he's never shown. I say never, that's a bit harsh. He doesn't often show the composure he showed in that situation when the ball fell to him. I mean, regardless of the fact that we were 4-0 up, it's a brilliant take and finish. Goes under the keeper, good, you know, good positioning, good run, a lovely finish. Like, it doesn't matter who you are on the pitch, if you score a goal like that, it's a good goal. And he was unlucky not to get another one. Very similar sort of move, wasn't it, at the back post. He was a little bit unlucky. But you're right, he did. He looked lively. He was working hard. I mean, he came on the left, and he was right in front of me, and I noticed it in the first couple of minutes when he was on the pitch that he'd obviously been given some instruction to sort of cover for the left back who was circling at the time. But once he got into the flow of it, them first 4 or 5 minutes had gone by, he was loving it. He was just trying to get into dangerous positions, And I mean, long may it continue. I want to see him do well, yeah, because he's been here that long. So we're all sort of waiting for it to happen. And especially at the minute, we haven't got a lot of options in an attacking sense. Normally, when you look at the bench, he's bringing on sort of Aidan O'Brien, who's obviously not available. Will Harris, who hasn't really done a great deal when he's came on. I'm not really going to slag the lad off, but quality-wise, we haven't got a lot in an attacking sense. And mm-hmm. Benji coming on and doing what he did, it gives us a glimmer of hope that maybe he can still make it here as a player. But I'm on the fence. I think he's got, like I say, a month to either score a couple more goals, and when he comes on the pitch, do the business like he did, or he's going to be farmed out somewhere. It's probably the last we've seen of him. So, and he'll know that. He's not totally daft. It'll have been explained to him, you know, if you get on the pitch tonight, you're going to have to do something. You can't just come on and it be another appearance. Mm-hmm. When you come on and you get a chance to do something, do it. And fair play, he did it.
He did. Yeah, and I mean, it ended the game on a really positive note. You know, it ends the year on a really positive note, where I think, you know, there's a lot being said about how far we've come in the last year. And I think it's testament to the work that the squad have done, the work that the recruitment team have done, and the work that Lee Johnson has done alongside Christian Speakman to get the men's side in such a great position going into the new year.
Top the league as well. Let's not forget
top
that.
Top the league, exactly. And yeah. And we've got a little bit of a break now before there's any football. Both the men and the women don't play until kind of the second weekend in the month, in the 8th and 9th. You looking forward to a little bit of a break, or do you think, you know, we might lose a little bit of momentum?
And I'm gutted. I really, really wanted that Fleetwood game to be on. Yeah. Just, we are taking advantage of the current situation with the pandemic and teams going down with COVID. We've took full advantage. We've won our games. We've got points on the board. Which is, it's disappointing that we aren't going to, I mean, I know Wigan have got a lot of games in hand on us, but I would rather have the points on the board.
Oh, yeah.
And when you look at where Fleetwood are in the table, you know, 19th in the table, fighting for their lives down the bottom, you know, it's probably a best time to play them as well, because they're going to probably bring in a few players, maybe get a few bad eggs out in January. So by the time we do come to play them, they're going to probably be a little bit stronger. So I would rather have played that game, obviously, but nothing we can do about it. I think the players will probably be glad of a rest, because, like I say, that team has been pushed to its limits, hasn't it? Really, they've all had to play pretty much every game, every minute. Luckily, I think there's a bunch of games coming up that we aren't involved in. Obviously, this round of games, Rotherham have got Bolton, so we might only be top four a day or so. But at least we've stamped down that marker. The pressure's now on them to beat Bolton. So yeah, I guess we just have to just sit and wait and see what happens. I think ultimately, time will tell. But I think that regardless of what Rotherham are doing, what Wigan are doing, what Wickham are doing, as long as we just keep doing what we're doing, we're going to end up in that top two, because we're playing so well. And eventually, come the end of the season, it'll all pan out for the best. I think I have full faith at the minute that we're going in the right direction. It's inarguable, really. You've just got to look at the recent performances and the goals we're scoring. And yeah, we could do with Bolton doing us a little bit of a favour, but it's not the end of the world if Rotherham do win.
Yeah, definitely. So we've got New Year, we've got a bit of a break, and then we'll be back at it. I think we'll probably, on Rogue Report, have a few little special episodes to release. We'll see what Sean's got up his sleeve. And we'd like to thank everyone for listening to us this year, for donating to the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen Appeal over Christmas. We'll speak to you soon. Sarah.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.